Welcome to a special In Case You Missed It weekend edition of Hot Off the Wire. In it, we look back at some of the top stories from the past week, as reported by the Associated Press. I'm Terry Lipschitz, senior producer for Lee Enterprises and your host. Be sure to subscribe to Hot Off the Wire through Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts so you don't miss daily news updates. And now, let's look back at some of those headlines. It was a week of setbacks for former President Donald Trump. Eric Tucker, in his article, Trump's Legal Woes Mount Without Protection of Presidency, for the Associated Press, wrote, "Stark repudiation by federal judges," he had pointed, "far-reaching fraud allegations by New York's Attorney General. It's been a week of widening legal troubles for Donald Trump, laying bare the challenges piling up as the former president operates without the protections afforded by the White House. The bravado that served him well in the political arena is less handy in a legal realm dominated by verifiable evidence, where judges this week have looked askance at his claims and where a fraud investigation that took root when Trump was still president burst into public view in an allegation-filled 222-page state lawsuit. In politics, you can say what you want, and if people like it, it works. In a legal realm, it's different," said Chris Edelson, a presidential power scholar and American University government professor. "It's an arena where there are tangible consequences for missteps, misdeeds, false statements in a way that doesn't apply in politics." You can read the full article through a link in the show notes. Let's listen to updates on those stories, as well as a report that Virginia Thomas has agreed to an interview with the House panel investigating the January 6th insurrection. Plus, the House passed a bill that would overhaul an election certification law.
Former President Donald Trump insists,
"I declassified everything."
In an interview with Fox News Hannity, Trump repeated,
"If you're the President of the United States, you can declassify just by saying it's declassified, even by thinking about it."
The Justice Department and a three-judge panel of the 11th Federal Circuit Court of Appeals both say there's no evidence that Trump actually declassified any of the hundreds of top-secret and other classified documents found in his Florida home. Panel also overturned a lower court judge's ruling blocking the department from using the papers in their investigation of the former president. I'm Tim McGuire, AP News.
New York Attorney General Letitia James is suing former President Donald Trump.
This investigation revealed that Donald Trump engaged in years of illegal conduct to inflate his net worth, to deceive banks and the people of the great state of New York.
James says Trump padded his net worth by billions of dollars by lying about the value of prized assets. Donald Trump called the lawsuit another witch hunt by a racist attorney general. James is black. I'm Ed Donahue, AP News.
Former President Donald Trump's lawyers tell an independent arbiter they are reluctant to answer questions concerning the declassification of documents found in Trump's Florida residence last month. Special Master Raymond Deary asks former President Donald Trump's attorneys and the Justice Department for likely agendas as he proposes a draft plan on how to go forward over the next 2 months. Trump's lawyers told the judge they won't answer questions on the classified status of the 11,000 documents because it might be part of his defense should there be an indictment. He has claimed without evidence they were declassified. Both sides meeting with Deary today in Brooklyn. Trump's lawyers are also expected to respond to the Justice Department's appeal of a different judge's order blocking, at least temporarily, the use of the classified documents as part of the criminal investigation. I'm Tim McGuire.
The wife of Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas has agreed to a voluntary interview with a House panel investigating the January 6th insurrection. I'm Ben Thomas with the latest. Her attorney says Virginia Thomas is eager to answer the committee's questions to clear up any misconceptions about her work relating to the 2020 election. The committee has for months sought an interview with the conservative activist to learn more about her efforts to help former President Trump overturn his election defeat. Virginia Thomas contacted lawmakers in Arizona and Wisconsin in the weeks after the election. The AP obtained emails in which she urged two Arizona lawmakers to choose a clean slate of electors and, quote, stand strong in the face of political and media pressure. She also texted with White House Chief of Staff Mark Meadows. Ben Thomas, Washington.
I'm Mike Gracia reporting the House passes an election law overhaul. In a response to the January 6, 2021 insurrection that sought to overturn Donald Trump's election loss, the House passed legislation Wednesday to overhaul the rules for certifying the results of a presidential election. The final vote was 229 to 203, as 9 Republicans, all of whom are not returning to Congress next year, joined all Democrats in approving the measure. Similar bipartisan legislation is moving through the Senate. The bill would overhaul an 1800s-era statute known as the Electoral Count Act that, along with the U.S. Constitution, governs how states and Congress certify electors and declare presidential election winners. Republican Representative Liz Cheney of Wyoming, who co-sponsored the legislation, said the bill intends to ensure future January 6th sessions are, as the Constitution envisioned, a ministerial day. Mike Gracia, Washington.
In other national news, President Joe Biden pledged help for Puerto Rico after the island was slammed by Hurricane Fiona. He also met with the families of Americans being detained in Russia. There were responses to Republican governors sending migrants to states led by Democrats. The subject of the first season of the Serial podcast had his conviction overturned. Sarah Sanders, the Republican candidate for governor of Arkansas, was released from a hospital after undergoing successful surgery to treat cancer. Those stories and more from the Associated Press.
President Biden says whatever Puerto Rico needs to recover from Hurricane Fiona, they will get it.
I've authorized 100%, 100% federal funding for debris removal, search and rescue, power and water restoration, shelter and food for the whole month.
The president was at a FEMA office in New York. More than 60% of Puerto Rico is still without power. I'm Ed Donahue, AP News.
President Biden met Friday with family members of WNBA star Brittany Griner and another American detained in Russia, Paul Whelan. I'm Ben Thomas with the latest. The meetings at the White House are the first face-to-face encounter between the president and the relatives of Griner and Whelan. Administration officials say they're meant to underscore Biden's commitment to bringing the two home and to establish a personal connection, but not an indication negotiations with Russia for their release have reached a breakthrough. On that, National Security spokesman John Kirby.
We made a serious offer. We want them to accept it. These two individuals ought to be home anyway, period. But we understand that that's probably going to have to be the result of a negotiating process, one that we're willing to participate in honestly and fully, and we've been doing that. We await them to take the offer that's on the table.
Ben Thomas, Washington.
AP News, I'm Tim McGuire. In San Antonio, Texas, Bexar County Sheriff Javier Salazar, a Democrat, opens an investigation into migrants seeking asylum in the U.S. being sent to Martha's Vineyard on planes chartered by Florida Republican Governor Ron DeSantis.
Somebody saw fit to come from another state, hunt them down, prey upon them, and then take advantage of their desperate situation.
A spokesperson for DeSantis says the migrants were more than willing to leave San Antonio, claiming they were abandoned, homeless, and left to fend for themselves. Immigration lawyers accused the Republican governors of Texas and Florida of breaking federal immigration law. Yvonne Espinoza Madrigal, with Lawyers for Civil Rights, tells the AP Florida Governor Ron DeSantis and Texas Governor Greg Abbott illegally sent migrants awaiting immigration hearings in Texas and Florida to Washington, D.C. and Martha's Vineyard, Massachusetts.
We are exploring civil and criminal legal avenues to hold the perpetrators and the states accountable.
Espinoza Madrigal says two planes chartered by DeSantis that landed in Martha's Vineyard included pregnant women and children and at least one person who needed medical care.
Florida, Texas cannot ship people, drop them on the street unattended, including children as young as 4 and 5 years old, without any support structure.
Texas Governor Greg Abbott has sent thousands of migrants to various locations without any notification to local, state, or federal authorities. A Maryland judge orders the release of Adnan Syed after overturning his 1999 conviction in the murder of Haemin Lee.
Syed's conviction drew widespread attention in 2014 when the debut season of the Serial podcast focused on Lee's killing and raised doubts about some of the evidence prosecutors used in their case against Syed. Last week, prosecutors filed a motion saying a lengthy investigation with defense attorneys uncovered new evidence that could undermine Syed's 2000 conviction. Circuit Court Judge Melissa Finn ruled told the state violated its legal obligation to share exculpatory evidence with Syed's defense, ordered the now 41-year-old Syed's conviction be overturned, and placed him on home detention with GPS location monitoring. The judge ordered the state to decide within 30 days whether to seek a new trial date or dismiss the case. I'm Mike Gracia.
I'm Tim McGuire, AP News.
Dozens of people have been charged in a multi-million-dollar food scheme in Minnesota. I'm Norman Hall. Federal authorities charged 47 people in Minnesota with conspiracy and other counts in what is said to be a massive scheme that took advantage of the COVID-19 pandemic to steal $250 million from a federal program that provides meals to low-income children. Prosecutors say the defendants created companies that claimed to be offering food to tens of thousands of children across Minnesota, then sought reimbursement for those meals through the U.S. Department of Agriculture's food nutrition programs. Prosecutors say few meals were actually served, and the defendants used the money to buy luxury cars, property, and jewelry. I'm Norman Hall.
I'm Mike Gracia, reporting Sarah Sanders is released from the hospital after cancer surgery. Former White House Press Secretary Sarah Sanders was released from an Arkansas hospital Saturday after undergoing surgery for thyroid cancer. Sanders spokesman Judd Deere said following successful surgery on Friday to remove her thyroid and surrounding lymph nodes and in consultation with her physician, Sarah was discharged from an Arkansas hospital cancer-free. Sanders had announced Friday that a biopsy earlier this month revealed she had thyroid cancer. The 40-year-old Sanders is a Republican candidate for governor in Arkansas. Deere told the Associated Press Saturday Sanders plans to resume campaigning soon. I'm Mike Gracia.
A defiant Alex Jones shows up at a Connecticut courthouse today declaring his innocence, despite already being found liable for spreading the lie that the Sandy Hook School massacre was a hoax.
Alex!
It was conspiracy theorist Alex Jones' first court appearance, even though he's not testifying until later and did not stay.
This is a travesty of justice, and this judge is a tyrant.
The hearing determines how much the InfoWars host pays families for saying the shooting that killed 20 first graders and 6 educators was a hoax.
I was not wrong about Sandy Hook on purpose. I questioned it.
Jones says he was found guilty without a trial. However, civil suits are about liability, not guilt. I'm Julie Walker.
Two people who wish to remain anonymous claim a massive lottery jackpot. Illinois lottery officials say the two winners of the $1.33 billion Mega Millions drawing have claimed their prize, opting to take and split the lump sum payout of more than $780 million. The lottery says the pair spent the past few weeks working with professional legal and financial advisors on the claims process. The jackpot, the nation's third largest, grew because there were 29 straight no-winner draws from April 15th until the July 29th winner. The winning ticket was sold at a gas station in a Chicago suburb. I'm Tim McGuire.
A blind dog fell into a deep, narrow hole in California and had to be rescued by emergency crews last night. The action unfolded with ABC 7 Los Angeles reporting from its helicopter overhead.
Very frightened now, coming up to the surface. There he is. There's the dog.
And on the ground, the blind 13-year-old dog reunited with its grateful owner, Mary, who lives next to the construction site that Caesar wandered onto. Pasadena Fire Chief Chad Augustine says this was a difficult rescue in a 15-foot deep, 3-foot wide hole.
Confined space rescues are low frequency, high risk, and so there's lots of steps that we need to make sure we do to make it as safe as possible.
Rescuers hooked up a series of ropes and pulleys, lowered a member down, and got Caesar out safely. I'm Julie Walker.
The Federal Reserve Board continued its bid to hold down inflation by raising interest rates. Mortgage rates continued to rise. The financial stress families are experiencing led Walmart and Target to both reveal plans to start holiday shopping deals sooner to ease the sting of inflation.
The Federal Reserve Board raises a key interest rate another 0.75%. Board Chair Jerome Powell says raising the rate is the surest way to drive down inflation to the 2% mark the Fed wants. He admits the effort could lead to a recession.
It's very hard to say with precise certainty the way this is going to unfold. For a third straight meeting, the Fed boosted its key rate by 0.75 point to the highest level in 14 years.
We are taking forceful and rapid steps.
And Chairman Jerome Powell says the Fed would want to be very confident inflation is moving down to its 2% target before considering halting the hikes.
We're not at that level.
In making borrowing more expensive, the goal is to slow economic growth enough to tame inflation without triggering a recession, a so-called soft landing.
No one knows whether this process will lead to a recession, or if so, how significant that recession would be.
But most economists say they think the steep hikes will lead to a full-blown recession late this year or early next. Sagar Magani, Washington.
AP's Chris Rugaber reports the economic slowdown itself without a recession could be painful.
They now expect unemployment to get up to 4.4% next year, and that's compared to 3.7% now. And that translates really into about 1 million people, potentially a 1.5 million, losing their jobs.
Mortgage interest rates jump. Prospective homebuyers face an even more daunting task as they shop for mortgages. Freddie Mac reports that the average 30-year fixed interest rate is up more than 0.25% to 6.29% compared with 6.02% last week. Today's rate the highest in 15 years since August 2007, before the housing market crash and the last recession. Last year at this time, traditional 30-year rates were well below 3%, less than half of what buyers are seeing now. Existing home sales have dropped for 7 straight months. August sales were off by nearly 20% when compared with August a year ago. Tim McGuire, Washington.
Holiday deals may be earlier than usual in some stores. Walmart and Target plan to begin offering deals and price matching offers earlier this year to keep up with Americans pressed by soaring inflation. They are also looking for ways to ease the potential sting of holiday shopping. With inflation that's hovering near 4-decade highs, experts believe families may get an earlier start on shopping with hopes of avoiding even higher prices later. Alex Partners, the global consulting firm, forecasts that holiday sales will be up anywhere from 4 to 7%, far below last year's growth of 16%. I'm Shelley Adler.
Some who made student loan payments during the pandemic are eligible for refunds.
The refunds are not available for private student loans. Only eligible federal student loans, including Perkins and family education loans, with payments made since March 13th of 2020. For some, the refund will be automatic if payments put your loan balance below the maximum relief of $10,000 for all borrowers and $20,000 for Pell Grant recipients. If you owe more than that, you can still apply to get $10,000 of debt erased. And what if you paid off your student loan completely during the pandemic? You can still request a refund prior to applying for debt relief, according to the Department of Education. Applications are expected to be open from early October until the end of December in 2023. Jennifer King, Washington.
I'm Tim McGuire, AP News.
You're listening to Hot Off the Wire. We'll return after a short break. The funeral for Queen Elizabeth II was held this week. The United Kingdom and the rest of the world said farewell.
All who follow the Queen's example and inspiration of trust and faith in God can with her say, we will meet again.
Archbishop of Canterbury Justin Welby, in his sermon, says the late Queen is one of the few leaders who have received such an outpouring of love.
The grief of this day, felt not only by the late Queen's family, but all round the nation, the Commonwealth and the world, arises from her abundant life and loving service, now gone from us.
Mourners across London have come to say their final goodbye to the late monarch Queen Elizabeth II. I'm at the Mall by Buckingham Palace, where the funeral procession is due to pass. In the background, you can hear a radio broadcast of the Queen's funeral, as mourners, many dressed in black, stand silent with their heads bowed. Some have come because of a personal sense of connection to the Queen, whereas others came to be a part of history. Karen Chamas, London.
The Queen's coffin sits at the center of the Abbey after being borne there by pallbearers, accompanied by her son, King Charles III, and other members of the royal family, including Prince William, his wife Kate, and their two elder children, George and Charlotte. Prince Harry and Meghan, Duchess of Sussex, also walk behind the coffin. I'm Tim McGuire, AP News.
Mourners line the streets in London. Here's the AP's Karen Chamas.
A marching band of the King's Guards stomped down the Mall as spectators pressed on their tippy-toes to get a clear view. The Royal Horse Guards soon followed as mourners reached high with their cell phones to at least capture the spectacular sight on camera. The crowd was mixed with people from around the globe, young and old. Many were so well prepared they brought stools and selfie sticks. But it was clear that everyone there was excited. 11-year-old Mason said he made his mum and aunt take him down especially.
You that wanted to come down, or was it your mum?
It was me.
It was you?
Yeah, I dragged her to... both into this.
Mourner Jenny Christmas said she wanted her grandson Bowie to have a memory he would never forget.
It's really important that he knows about our history and our royal family.
Karen Chamas, London.
After a committal service at a chapel in Windsor Castle, the Queen's coffin was lowered into the royal vault.
People around the world have been watching Queen Elizabeth's funeral on TV. In Hong Kong, British citizen Tom Fell remembered being at the Queen Mother's funeral and Princess Diana's.
So hard not to be there.
So he and others around the globe watched from a South African amphitheater.
She showed us courage. She showed us duty.
To British pubs in Paris.
It's a historical moment in English history, and I didn't want to miss it.
And here in Washington.
It didn't feel right. It didn't feel proper to just watch it in my own home.
Sagar Magani, Washington.
Britain's Culture Secretary Michelle Donlan says at least 250,000 people joined the huge line to see Queen Elizabeth's coffin lying in state before her funeral. As far as the cost related to the funeral, Donlan says they don't know that yet, but it was money well spent.
I don't think anybody could suggest that our late monarch didn't deserve that send-off, given the duty and the selfless service that she committed to over 70 years.
I'm Ed Donahue, AP News.
In a week where the leaders of the world met for the 77th session of the United Nations General Assembly, the Russian invasion of Ukraine was front and center. And in other news, an American contractor was released in a prisoner exchange. There were two large earthquakes in Mexico and protests in Iran.
The head of the United Nations tells the General Assembly that the time is now for the nations of the world to act on dire issues. In a speech opening this week's session of the UN General Assembly, Secretary General Antonio Guterres outlines a series of global threats.
We need to save our planet, which is quite literally on fire.
Guterres says the world has to break the grip of oil and coal.
It means moving away from our suicidal dependence on fossil fuels and jump-starting the renewable energy transition in every country.
He also challenges the wealthy nations to renew sustained development goals, including increased investments in the health, education, and well-being of all people, including refugees and migrants. AP News, I'm Tim McGuire. In a televised speech in which he announced the call-up of as many as 300,000 military reservists for the war against Ukraine, Russian President Vladimir Putin also issued a veiled warning to the West about his country's military weapons, including nuclear technology. Today's activation of Russian reserves is the first time a leader in Moscow has done so since Soviet dictator Joseph Stalin in the Second World War. Russia is also holding annexation votes Friday in four areas of Ukraine in the hands of its troops.
At the United Nations General Assembly, President Biden talked about what Russia is doing to civilians in Ukraine.
That should make your blood run cold.
The president says Russia shamelessly violated the UN Charter in Ukraine. A human rights group says more than 800 Russians have been arrested in anti-war demonstrations in 37 cities after President Vladimir Putin ordered a partial mobilization of reservists.
This is not the moment to weaken our support to Ukraine.
The General Assembly is being told more must be done to stand up to Russia in the war in Ukraine. Russia continues to blame Ukraine for the fighting. EU Foreign Policy Chief Joseph Borrell says more sanctions are on the way, and the sanctions already in place are working.
Almost two-thirds of the Russian civilian planes cannot fly anymore. Just an example. 99% of the Russian factories of cars has stopped. 45% of all technological components come from Europe, They have stopped also.
At the Pentagon, Brigadier General Pat Ryder says Russia's announcement of more troops likely won't make a big difference.
If you are already having significant challenges and haven't addressed some of those systemic strategic issues that make any large military force capable, there's nothing to indicate that it's going to get any easier by adding more variables to the equation.
Pope Francis is speaking out about the cruelty suffered by the Ukrainian people.
In a closing speech to a general audience in St. Peter's Square, Pope Francis said his envoy to Ukraine, Cardinal Konrad Kretzky, had told him about the pain of the people, the cruelties and the monstrosities and the tortured corpses. The Vatican News Service says the envoy and his colleagues came under fire as they were distributing humanitarian supplies near the city of Zaporizhia in Ukraine last Sunday. No injuries were reported. The Pope has made repeated appeals to stop the war in Ukraine over the past months. I'm Charles de Ledesma.
I'm Ed Donahue, AP News.
Ukraine announces a high-profile prisoner swap after months of negotiations.
On a blustery evening somewhere in Ukraine, many of the released prisoners are greeted by embraces and a cry of glory to heroes. Many of these men were fighters who defended a steel plant in Mariupol during a long Russian siege. In exchange, Ukraine gave up an ally of Russian President Vladimir Putin, a Ukrainian oligarch and pro-Russian opposition leader Viktor Medvedchuk. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky said his government had won freedom from Russian custody for 215 Ukrainian and foreign citizens. Zelensky also said that many of the fighters in custody were facing the death penalty. I'm Karen Chamas.
I'm Tim McGuire, AP News.
An American contractor held hostage in Afghanistan, Mark Frericks, has been released in an exchange. A convicted Taliban drug lord is being released. Secretary of State Antony Blinken has a message for families of other Americans being held hostage.
Our commitment to them, to bringing their loved ones home, is resolute, and we will relentlessly continue to focus on doing just that.
I'm Ed Donahue, AP News.
One person is dead in an aftershock of a major earthquake that hit Mexico earlier this week. Donna Warder has this.
The quake, with a preliminary magnitude of 6.8, struck early Thursday, just 3 days after a 7.6 magnitude quake shook western and central Mexico. The U.S. Geological Survey says today's quake, like Monday's, was centered near the Pacific coast and could be felt throughout the state of Michoacán. Mexico City's mayor says one woman died when she fell downstairs in her home. Residents huddled in streets. I'm Donna Warder.
Iranian state television reports more than 24 people could be dead in protests since the death of a young woman in government custody.
The Islamic Nation's state-run media has reported demonstrations of hundreds of people in at least 13 cities, including the capital, Tehran. Now videos are emerging showing crowds protesting and security forces in riot gear firing and chasing protesters. The protests had begun as an emotional outpouring over the death of Mahsa Amini, a young woman held by the country's morality police for allegedly violating its strictly enforced dress code. In a further development, people in Iran and some other cities are planning to hold a counter-protest rally after the Friday prayers. I'm Charles de Ledesma.
I'm Tim McGuire, AP News.
Curious about the weather? The Lee Weather Team hosts Across the Sky, a fast-paced weekly podcast that tackles hot topics and cold, plus what's trending in meteorology, science, and climate. Join Matt Holliner, Kirsten Lang, Joe Martucci, and Sean Sublett each week on Across the Sky through Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. And finally, in science and health news, the latest on the updated COVID booster shot. NASA prepares for a test that could save the planet and a recommendation for adults to be screened for anxiety.
4 to 5 million people have been given the latest Omicron booster shot. Here's the AP's Mike Gracia.
The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention said Thursday 4.4 million Americans have received the updated COVID-19 booster shot so far. The White House has its own count, saying by its estimate, more than 5 million people have received the new booster. Either way, health experts say it's too early to predict whether the demand will match the 171 million doses of new boosters ordered by the federal government for the fall. The new boosters are designed to target the most common Omicron strains. There has been a temporary shortage of Moderna vaccine. The issue should be resolved soon as government regulators complete an inspection and batches of the vaccine are cleared for distribution. I'm Mike Rossio.
A NASA spacecraft is on a one-way mission to crash into an asteroid to nudge it into a tighter orbit around a larger companion asteroid. NASA's Thomas Zurbuchen says the DART test could prove the math and technology needed to prevent asteroids from hitting the Earth.
These threats are real, and I think what makes this time special is we can do something about it.
The double asteroid reduction test craft will be traveling at 14,000 miles per hour when it hits the asteroid on Monday. I'm Tim McGuire, AP News.
A U.S.-Russian crew have blasted off from the International Space Station from the Baikonur Cosmodrome in Kazakhstan.
Turbopumps, flight speed,
and liftoff. A sunset start to the mission of Rubio, Prokopyev, and Petelin to the International Space Station.
Two Russian cosmonauts and NASA astronaut Frank Rubio blasted off as scheduled aboard the Soyuz MS-22 spacecraft. It became Rubio's first space flight since becoming an astronaut in 2017. One of the main goals of the mission is scientific work, including work on the science module of ISS. The launch comes amid high tensions between Moscow and the West over the fighting in Ukraine, and 2 months after Russia announced it would pull out of the ISS after 2024, putting into question the future of the program. I'm Charles de Ledesma.
The number of traffic deaths fell slightly recently, but still remain high.
Estimates from the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration show that 20,175 people died in crashes from January through June, a 0.5% increase over the same period last year. The second quarter decline ended a string of 7 straight quarterly increases that began in the summer of 2020. The agency estimated that 10,590 people died on roadways from April to June, nearly 5% fewer than the same period a year ago. Roads became more congested as the pandemic eased. Federal safety officials say the levels require urgent action and that the deaths are preventable. Norman Hall, Washington.
I'm Ed Donahue, AP News.
An influential health guidelines group says all American adults younger than 65 should get routine anxiety screening. Anxiety disorders are among the most common mental health complaints, and the U.S. Preventive Services Task Force for the first time is recommending doctors regularly screen for anxiety in adults without any symptoms. One task force member calls it very timely guidance, given reports of mental health problems surging during the COVID-19 pandemic. The task force says things like brief questionnaires can easily be given during primary care visits. It continues recommending depression screenings for adults and kids, but says there's not enough evidence to recommend suicide screening in adults with no worrisome symptoms. Sagar Magani, Washington.
More whales have been found stranded in Australia.
When first found, half of the 230 whales beached on shore were believed to be alive. By the next morning, less than 36 managed to survive the pounding surf overnight. Wildlife manager for the area, Brendan Clark, said the rescue operation for the remaining 35 was a success.
Oh, it's worked very effectively, our operations today.
At least 32 of the 35 animals that are still alive have been refloated, rescued and released. Marine scientist Vanessa Pirotta says although there are many theories, the reason behind the strandings are still a mystery.
This is actually the second stranding in Tasmania this week. Earlier there was 14 sperm whales, which is a different species of whale, and unfortunately they've stranded as well. But yet, what is going on? We don't actually know.
I'm Karen Chamas.
I'm Ed Donahue, AP News.
I'm Terry Lipschitz, thanking you for listening.
Audio provided by the Associated Press. Music is by SkillCell and provided through Pixabay. Be sure to subscribe to Hot Off the Wire on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts so you don't miss an episode.